Now, it's nearly a year since David Tennant handed over the keys of the TARDIS to Matt Smith, and it was last Christmas when his Hamlet was performed to great acclaim on television. Well, he's now back on the small screen in the coveted Sunday evening drama slot, playing Dave in Single Father. The series begins in the chaos of family life. Mum, four children, and Dad trying to keep control.
Your mum's got her exam tomorrow, which is very important, Ewan.
So has been a mascot. I've waited two seasons for it.
And all you were asked to do was help tidy up so your mum could revise while we were at the match. That's not much to ask, is it?
No.
No. Luckily, you're not wanted here this afternoon, so you will go to the game.
Yes!
If you've done everything your mum wants done, and she'll be the judge, so do it properly. And if you do, we'll put a new tent up.
Yes!
I've been so horrible to them. Why am I like this? What are you like? You're hopeless.
Yeah, everything will be all right.
Don't think so.
But on her way to the exam, Tina is killed when a police car crashes into her bike, and Dave is left to manage his grief and the children alone. You may remember last week we discussed the allure of the widower for the women who gather around to help out, and indeed Dave is soon seduced into a liaison with his dead wife's best friend. What drew David Tennant to the role?
I got two scripts sent to me out of the blue. I just tore through them. I just thought they were so beautifully written, so kind of true and unsentimental and yet deeply emotional and funny and everything you want a drama to be, really.
How much were you attracted by the fact that it's set in Scotland so you could use your own accent?
Well, I mean, that's nice. It's one less thing to worry about. But it's a fairly universal story, really. And I think there's a sort of secret in the fact that it was sort of set wherever it needed to be set for the BBC regional funding at the time, which you might think is a bit of a compromise. But actually, this story, and that's part of the point of it, could be set anywhere and could happen to anyone.
Now, within the first few scenes, your character's partner, Rita, is killed on her bike by a police car.
Yeah.
And he is left with four children. His grief is absolutely overwhelming. What do you draw on to act that?
It's a mixture of things. Obviously, it's your experience of grief, whatever that might be. There's an imaginative leap as well. I've never lost a partner in that way. So you have to transfer yourself into what that moment might feel like.
Your father became a widower recently. How much did you draw on that?
Well, I think, as you know, whenever you lose someone in that's close to you, then grief is a very vivid experience, I think, and it is for Dave in this drama, and it has been for me in my life, and of course you draw on that, but you're also trying to be specific to the character and the situation, so I guess you use your own understanding of it as a starting point, and you try and transfer that into the world of the drama as well.
There is a rather shockingly speedy affair with Rita's best friend.
Mm.
And I wondered how the son of a former moderator of the Church of England, Church of Scotland, rather, responded to that particularly.
I think what's very true about this script is that the characters aren't necessarily always virtuous. I find it understandable that in the chaos of grief, you can find yourself doing extraordinary things and perhaps inappropriate things. And certainly, I think the character of Dave struggles with what he's doing and why he's doing it. You know, not only does he lose his wife and have to care for these children on his own, he's then faced with falling in love with perhaps the most inappropriate person at the most inappropriate time.
Now, Tennant is not your real name.
No.
It's MacDonald.
It is.
Why did you change it?
It's an actor's equity thing, the union, which nowadays isn't quite the closed shop it once was. But when I joined, it was that catch-22. You couldn't get an acting job without your equity card. You couldn't get your equity card without an acting job. You sort of had to somehow slip into the union. And once you were there, you had to follow their rules. And the rule is that, I suppose, an actor's trademark is their name. So if somebody's already bagged yours, you have to change it. So,
and why Tennant?
Well, I was 16. And I you know, where do you look for a name when you're 16? So I looked through a copy of Smash Hits at the time. So I'm sort of named after one of the Pet Shop Boys.
What did your parents make of your decision to act?
I was always going to do it from an absurdly young age. So for me, there was never a question that that's what I was going to do and that that's the path I was on. I think they tried to discourage me because any sensible parent would. It's not a particularly secure profession, to say the least. So they tried to encourage me to look at other options and consider what else I might do. But I was fairly unwavering. So they just had to get on board with it. And I think once they realised that there was no persuading me, they were and have always been very supportive and very enthusiastic about it. So, you know, and my dad, as you say, he's a minister in the Church of Scotland. So there's a certain theatricality to that. I think he gets it.
But you inherited it from him.
Yeah, I think I have, yeah.
Now, I would say you're now best known for a quite spectacular Hamlet.
Oh,
and
you.
Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Now, if you had to choose, where would you prefer to be, Elsinore or the TARDIS?
Well, you see, if you go in the TARDIS, you can also visit Elsinore. So that may be my get-out answer to that question. One of the great joys for me over the last few years is that I've managed to do both and that one almost allows the other. I like the variety and the capriciousness of acting sometimes and that you can do something that's accessible and fun and populist, and then you can work for the Royal Shakespeare Company and that too can hopefully be fun and accessible and populist, and that there shouldn't really be any distinction between the two.
I mean, they're both big roles that have been done many, many, many times before by other people.
Sure,
they have a lot of history with them. How difficult is it to take either of those roles, different as they may be, and just make it yours?
Well, it's a similar challenge. You're reinventing the wheel, and that's never easy. Of course, that's what makes them appealing as well, because you become part of a lineage which is very flattering to be considered for, apart from anything else. Yes, it's difficult. And with something like Hamlet, saying to be or not to be and trying to make it sound like it's been fresh minted is not the easiest thing to do. But that's part of the challenge and the joy of it, I think. So, and you know, they were both ambitions of mine, funnily enough, and something that I was desperate to have a crack at. So, you know, you, be careful what you wish for, I suppose. You suddenly find yourself in the rehearsal room trying to find a way of, you know, rediscover something that's been rediscovered quite a lot already. But, I mean, wonderful. I'm hugely proud of having done both and will look back on my deathbed quite happy, I think.
And how easy was it to hand over the TARDIS?
It wasn't that difficult. It felt right. I had a good crack at it. I absolutely loved it and had the most wonderful 4 years. It was hard because I was still having a great time, still really enjoying myself. But I always knew I didn't want to ever to feel like a job. I didn't want to ever to get predictable or become a routine. So I knew that it was now or never, because there's only so long you can keep doing the same thing without it becoming, without repetition becoming a problem, I suppose. So I'm glad that I only look back on it fondly and with great affection and joy for the time I had there. So
there will inevitably be another Doctor Who after the current one.
I guess so.
And there is much discussion about whether it could be a woman, could it?
Well, it could be anything. It's Doctor Who. You know, it's a universe that sort of defines itself depending on whatever the story requires. So it could be. Why not?
Now, the other thing that you're very involved in, you started your career in political theatre, and I know you've done party political broadcasts for the Labour Party. How did you get so involved in politics initially?
I don't know if I've ever been sort of immersed in it. It's just something that's always been, I think possibly growing up in Scotland under Thatcher, it was difficult to understand why anyone would vote Conservative. I remember when I first started working in the theatre, I met two stage managers at Dundee Rep who'd come up from down south. And they were the first people I'd ever met who'd voted Conservative. And I remember grilling them, trying to understand why you would do such a thing. I mean, I was aware that millions of people did. I just couldn't understand it. It's just, to me, there's a version of socialism which is the way I was brought up, which is just that you treat everyone as equal and you try and look out for those who can't look out for themselves. And that, to me, in very basic broad terms, has always been how I've interpreted what the left wing has tried to do more than the right wing has. To me, it just seems that that's how things should be. But I never quite understand people who don't get that. But of course, that's what beliefs are, aren't they? Yes.
And what do you make of your new leader?
I don't really know yet. I've literally just come back into the country. I've been away in America for the last couple of months. So I sort of was picking up bits online, but I feel like I've just to get up to speed with exactly what went on there. And I don't know a great deal about him, to be honest. I hope he'll do very well, clearly.
I was talking to David Tennant, and Single Father begins on Sunday evening at 9 o'clock.